doesn't help because they don't listen. Yeah. All right. Well, good morning. Good to see you all here this morning. Oh, I missed Mike. You snuck in. I missed you. So, yes, good news. Therese has a new knee. She's just flying around here like crazy. So much, so much better. Yeah. Helen McEwen is doing better. So still working through some rehab stuff, but doing very well. All right, let's pray. Father God, thank you for this day that we can come here and worship you, give you glory, celebrate you, because it really is all about you. And we as human beings so easily slip into it's all about us. And so, Father, help us this morning to reboot and to refocus. And to remember that really our very lives are all about you. And I just thank you for being the God that you are, that you are a God of love and mercy and grace, that you are righteous, you are holy, and you have called us to be your children and enter into being like the image of your Son. Oh, Holy Spirit, help us to do that, to every day walk in a manner that's worthy of you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All righty. Just want to bring your attention again to the connection cards. Just a reminder, prayer requests, praises. If you have any information that you need to change on there, you can do that and drop it in the basket on your way out. A good way to kind of communicate with what's going on in your life. So we're continuing our message here in Romans 12. Last week we started 12:12, and we'll be finishing verse 12 this week, talking specifically about prayer. So open your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. I probably need to apologize. The message may be a little bit scattered today. In preparing it last week, I had brain fog. And so even this morning as I was going back through it, it's like, I wonder why that's there. So it gets worse. Great. Yeah, at least I could say I was sick. It wasn't just like, you know, the norm. But so, yeah, there was definitely a reference this morning that I'm like, I'm not sure what the deal is with that one. But anyway, so Romans 12. So the verse we're looking at this morning is verse 12:12. Rejoice in hope, endure in suffering, persist in prayer. And that's the one that we're going to focus on, is persisting in prayer. But let's go back up to verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed by this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. And then down to verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, endure in suffering, persist in prayer. You know, I don't know about you, but I tend to many times feel guilty about the amount of time I spend in prayer. Just seems like I should be spending more time in prayer, just not really giving it the adequate amount of time. But part of that is that, you know, it feels like a one-way conversation a lot of times. And since I'm not really a very wordy person, sometimes I read scripture and I go, how can these guys come up with these many words? You know, it's just like, oh my gosh. And they kind of say the same thing over and over, but they say it differently. And it's just like, that's pretty amazing. And so sometimes I get frustrated in that, where it's just like, okay, I used up all my words today, we're done. So.
That explains so much.
Yep, it does. You've heard that statistic, right, about men and women and how many words? Women are like 250,000 or something. And men are like 10, you know, it's, except for Pastor Bob. I know that's what Ruth was thinking, so. It was said that Martin Luther was so busy that he devoted 4 hours a day to prayer. That's not very motivating, actually, you know. It's kind of discouraging. But yet he realized, you know, the importance. He realized the importance of that relationship, and that really should be our motivation, is relationship with God. Because of his grace and his love, Romans chapter 1 through 11 basically set all that up for us to get to Romans 12, where it talks about then giving ourselves as a sacrifice because of God's love, because of his mercy. We should be willing to want to do that, to give him glory, to see that answered prayer, not necessarily done in our own strength, but done in God's strength. The word persist, proskuneo, means to give constant attention to a thing. To give constant attention to a thing. As I was looking at this morning, one of the things that popped into my mind was dating. Think about that dating relationship and how much attention you gave to that. It consumed your mind. It consumed your thoughts. Till you got married, and then I don't know what happened there. Then. But that's how it should be. It should just consume us, being continually devoted to prayer. Acts 1:4, talking about the disciples here, it says, these all were with one mind, were continually devoting themselves to prayer. The early church, they understood how important it was. And then in Acts 2:42, speaking of the early church, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. They understood how important it was, mostly because of what was going on in the culture at the time. You know, they weren't at the top of the heap. They were pretty much at the bottom, and they needed that prayer to continue. We need to make sure we're devoting ourselves to prayer. The apostles in Acts 6:4, it says, but we, speaking the apostles, will devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. That's that section where they chose people to serve, basically where we get the idea of deacons. And they said, we need to be devoting ourselves to prayer and to the word. But we all need to devote ourselves to prayer. In Colossians 4:2-3, It says, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at all times for us as well. So praying for one another, praying always. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 17, it says, pray without ceasing. And that term there, the Greek definition or the Greek word, they define it with, without intermission or incessantly. Are you getting the picture? How much we should pray? Continually. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18 says, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. There you go. You want to know what God's will is? There it is. Rejoice. Pray. Give thanks. It should literally permeate every part of our life. We will never be done praying. We will pray till the day we take our last breath. You know, there's books out there that talk about people of prayer. One of the books that really challenged me was Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire. That's from Jim Cymbal and the Brooklyn Tabernacle. They had a Tuesday night prayer time, and that's really what it was developed as, and it turned into one of their biggest services they had. Because what happened was people were seeing answered prayer. They were seeing what was happening. And of course, if you know much of the story about the Brooklyn Tabernacle, it was not in a very nice part of town. And they drew a lot of kind of unseemly people. But they also saw some great things that God did because of prayer. We need to be motivated by answered prayer. Our prayers, others' prayers. So it's always good to look at some other people that have gone before us and their prayer lives and what they did and how God answered. Our motivation really should be God's love and mercy. That should drive us to action. Just as it should drive us to present our bodies as a sacrifice, it should drive us to want to have a relationship with God. And that one of the main ways we have a relationship with God is prayer, is talking to Him, but also listening to Him. I was challenged in that just lately too about, you know, so many times we check off the list. You know, okay, I get out my journal and I need to pray for these people and I need to do this and I need to do that. And then off to my day I go. Rather than, okay, I'm done with that part of my list. Now I need to listen for God's list. And just be quiet before Him. And you know that's a struggle because, you know, you keep getting bombarded by whatever. Oh yeah, I need to do this and I need to do that. It's good to have a journal because if things come into your mind, oh, I can write that down. Now I can forget about that till I'm done. You know, we have to really work on focusing and listening for God. You know, because all of our lives are busy. You know, I see you guys that are retired and you seem more busy now than you were before. You know, it's just we're constantly doing stuff, but we need to make sure we're setting aside time for God. And not just time for us to talk to Him, but time for Him to talk to us. In Romans 8:32, we see God's action, that He didn't spare His own Son, but He delivered Him over for all of us. So why would we not be motivated to talk to Him, to have a relationship with Him? Because of what He did for us. And then Jesus, look what He does. He actually intercedes for us. Romans 8, 34. Christ Jesus is He who died, yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. So even though we may not know what to say or how to say it, or, you know, we just sometimes it's we're just so overwhelmed, we don't know what to do, Jesus is there to intercede for us. And the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is there. It says that He will take words to God that are even beyond what we can even say. Groanings too deep. Romans 8:26. The Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. You know, sometimes we stay busy because we don't really want to engage with God. Because maybe there's things going on in our lives that we're embarrassed about. Or maybe there's things going on in our lives that are just, they're just hard. And if we slow down and take time and we start thinking about it, it just seems to make it worse. But what we need to do is slow down, take time, and let the Spirit deal with it. Just sitting quietly before God, knowing that the Spirit knows what our heart and our mind is. And He can go before God, that we don't even have to come up with the words. Hebrews 4, starting in verse 14, talking about Jesus, it says, since we have a great high priest, this is Jesus, who passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness. Jesus knows exactly what we're going through. But one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. It doesn't say there, well, once you get it all together, then you can come before my throne. It doesn't say that. It says that Jesus has dealt with that. And we can go right before the very throne of the living God as His children. He wants us to come in and have relationship with Him because of who He is, God Himself. Who He is, just because He's God, we should be willing to communicate with Him. We find out who God is much through His Word. That's where we learn about God the most, is through His Word. And so we need to be in His Word so we understand who He is and how He operates and what He thinks. Just like right here in Hebrews, that we literally have the right and the privilege to come before the throne of God. Daniel, talking to God, he's talking about the people. Now remember, they're in exile right now, the time of Daniel. The Jews are in exile. Daniel begins to pray to God in Daniel 9, verse 17. He says, so now, our God, listen to the prayer of your servant and to his supplications for your sake. O Lord, let your face shine on your desolate sanctuary. O my God, incline your ear to hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations in the city which is called by your name. For we are not presenting our supplications before you on account of any merits of our own, but on account of your great compassion. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and take action for your own sake. O my God, do not delay, because your city and your people are called by your name. You see what he's saying there? He's praying in a way that gives glory to God. God, this is for your glory, not for mine, not for your people, but for you. God, would you accomplish this for your glory? That was Daniel's mindset. And then understanding that God works in prayer. That all we do is make the communication. In John 5:5, Jesus speaking, he says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Apart from Christ, we can do nothing. Well, we can do a lot of stuff, but we can't do what's truly good. In Luke chapter 1, angel is talking to Mary. And he says to her, "Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus." And then down in verse 34, Mary says to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel responds to Mary and says, For nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. And as we go into this season of celebrating Christ's birth, and we talk to people about the virgin birth, that Jesus was literally God born in the flesh, and they go, "What? That's craziness." It is. From a human standpoint, it's not craziness from God's standpoint, because God is able to do it. God wants us to participate with him. That's part of prayer, is participating with what he's doing. But we need to know his word to know what he's doing. James 5:16 says, "Therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much." He wants us to participate in prayer. But we also need to be, when it talks about a righteous man, we need to be in right standing with God. We need to make sure that our relationship with him is what it should be. That we have, as it said there, we've confessed our sin. We've asked for forgiveness. Because if there is prevalent sin in our life, it's going to affect our prayers. Because when we go before God in prayer and he says, "What about this little issue here?" And then pretty soon we quit meeting with God because, doggone it, he keeps pointing out sin. Because he wants us to be in right standing with him. He knows how it'll affect our prayers. I would imagine that everybody in this room was affected by someone's prayers. That's how you even came to know the Lord. Because someone was probably praying for you. Man, they may have been praying for you for years. And you have those people that you're praying for. And you've been praying for them for years. Don't give up. God hears that. And he will work. Psalm 66:18 says, "If I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear." We need to make sure we're in that right standing with God. Or James 4:3 talks about our motives. "You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives so that you may spend it on your pleasures." Need to make sure that when we're praying with the right motive and that we are lined up with God. So taking some of this and applying it. So what kind of conditions for prayer? George Mueller, I don't know if any of you are very familiar with him. This was definitely a man of prayer. This was back in the 1800s in London. He started orphanages. Started 117 schools in London. And then at the age of 70... he went on a 17-year mission trip. at the age of 70. Anybody out here 70? Ready to go on a mission trip for 17 years? Just leave that there. So George Mueller put together this list. First one, for God's glory. Our prayer should be lined up that it brings God glory. It should be based on the work of Jesus, what Jesus has accomplished. We need to be separate from sin. That's what I talked about, that whole idea of righteousness, that we need to make sure that we have that right standing before God, that we're dealing with sin immediately, that we don't let it just keep going. It's based on God's faithfulness. And that we need to have a continued expectation that God is going to move. He is going to answer. Now, sometimes God will say yes. Sometimes he'll say no. Sometimes he'll say, keep on praying. Sometimes he'll say, well, I just want you to hang in there. Just wait. It'll come. He does answer. And we need to have that expectation that he will, in his time, answer. So how do we pray? Jesus' disciples asked him this, actually. So the context of the Lord's Prayer was the disciples asking, Lord, how should we pray? So in Matthew 6, 9 through 13, he says, pray in this way. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Here's Jesus, God in flesh, teaching his disciples how to pray, and that was it. Doesn't it seem like it would have been, you know, a lot longer dissertation about here's how you pray, here's what you do. So what we need to do is we need to worship God. We start by worshiping God. We acknowledge who he is. We pray that evangelism would happen in the world, that his kingdom would come. We pray for submission to God in our world. We pray for our daily provisions. We confess and ask forgiveness. We pray for right relationships. We pray for purity in our thoughts and our actions. That's how we need to be praying. And we need, again, to make sure it lines up with Scripture. Now, sometimes we're not sure, you know, what to pray with people or for people. So there's another list in your bulletin there of just different things that line up with Scripture of how you can pray for someone. You know, rather than just, oh, God, be with so-and-so today, maybe pray something more specific. Like, God, will you do this in their life? And so there's some ideas there. There's a list of 20. And I forgot to put down at the bottom, that was actually from Stephen Cole. He put that together and put the scripture references in there. Praying for ourselves even. Some of those things, and praying for others. And how long do we pray? How long do we pray? Well, I think probably there's some out here that have been praying a long time for certain situations, probably mostly for people. Praying that they would come to know who the Lord is as their personal Savior. But what we have to realize sometimes in the delay, God's working. He's working in us. He's working in them. He's causing that dreaded word, patience, to work in our lives. But But I think also one of the other things he's doing is he's making us work for it. You know, we're hanging in there. We're being diligent. You know, rather than our society that wants the immediate gratification. I want it now. And I want what I want. You know, those of us that are parents really know how that works. You know, if you just give your kids stuff and give them, you know, and they don't have to really do anything for it, pretty soon they go, well, wait a minute. Why can't I have this? Why can't I have that? And then they go out into real life and find out that, oh, yeah. What do you mean I got to work for it? You know, I don't know if that's what's going on with some of the generation that's out there now is kind of that idea of, well, I should just have it. My parents have that. Why shouldn't I have that? Well, how long did it take your parents to get it? We need to work for it. And God is working in other people too. He's working his plan. He uses it to draw us closer to him. You know, we keep praying. We're diligent. We keep hanging in there. And through that, he draws us to himself. And remembering that his timing is perfect. His timing is perfect. I mean, just take the example of when you were saved. And look at the timing of that. And what was going on leading you to it. God was working, right? Yeah, I mean, you can look after the fact, you can look back and go, wow, God was lining all these things up. I look at my life prior to Christ and praise God that he kept me safe. I mean, it could have been bad. I mean, my parents were kind of non-existent in my life most of the time. I could have done whatever I wanted. I was an only child. I had free range to do whatever. I hung out with a pretty interesting crowd. And yet, I never indulged in some of the stuff they did. They were my friends and we hung out, but I just had no desire to do it. And I look back on that and go, praise God that he saved me from myself. Sometimes God, however, acts immediately. You know, Nehemiah gives us this example of, you know, he had been praying and fasting, but he comes in and the king says to him, what's your request? And immediately what Nehemiah does is he throws a prayer up to God. He says, so I prayed to God in heaven. I mean, he's right there before the king. He's been praying, but he's like, okay, God, I don't know what to say right now. And he says then, if it please the king, and if your servant has found favor before you, send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs, that I may rebuild it. And the king did. You know, there's those times when we need to ask God, okay, God, I'm going into this situation. I've got 2 minutes. What do I say? How do I say it? How do I respond? What do I do? And he'll help us in that. And then maybe we need to be more specific in our prayer, not so general. And I've got a perfect example. So we're getting ready to go on the mission field. And we need a bigger vehicle for our family. And so we start praying. We need a van. I would like it to be, I mean, I got pretty specific. Six-cylinder, three-speed manual. You know what I forgot to pray for? Color. Guess what color it was? Bright yellow. And you would think, okay, bright yellow van. People can see it, right? On our way home, driving down the freeway, someone cuts in behind us and bumps our bumper. It's like, how do you miss this great big yellow van? You know what happened? We went from the yellow van to the little silver van, right? Okay, we got this big yellow van. This is free. So we got this big yellow van. So you go and you park in the parking lot, right? You don't pay attention to where you park. You got a big yellow van. How hard is that to find, right? Then we went to a little silver minivan. You know how many of those there are? So the first couple times, it was like you come out of the store and go, well, there's one, and there's one, and there's one. That was free. So you might want to be specific when you pray. One of the things I thought about was, the Pirates of the Caribbean movie, and they want to be put on an island, but they're not specific about, and he says, well, you didn't ask for that. So you might want to be specific when you're praying, because God delights in answering our prayer. He does. It is that concept of the father and the child. He's the father. He wants to give us good things. Jesus talked about, that idea of persistence too, that we need to persist. We need to keep at it. In that context of the Lord's Prayer, he went on and talked about more about prayer. That we need to be persistent. Don't lose heart. Keep at it. Keep at it. Not that you're nagging God, but you're asking him, you're pleading with him. You're showing him how serious you are about it. Because he does want to answer your prayer. But he also wants to give you what's the best. And so sometimes he doesn't answer our prayer because it's not what's the best. And so he's not going to answer that prayer. But then there's those times when he does answer that prayer. And we find out later, oh, that wasn't the best. That wasn't the best. And that formulates then how we pray. We have a better understanding of who he is and how we need to communicate with him. And with that, let's pray. Father God, we do just need to be so mindful just of who you are. So many times we just come before you with our kind of our little petty things. I want this and I want that, and God do this and God do that. And we need to come before you just saying, God, what would be your pleasure? What would give you the most glory? If I need to pray for somebody for 30 years and never see anything happen, if that's what's going to give you the most glory, then let it be. If I pray today and you provide it tomorrow, let that be for your glory. Just as Daniel prayed, even though he was praying for himself and his people, he prayed it in such a way that it would give you glory. That was his motivation, was that it would glorify you, that it would lift up your name. And we've all heard the stories when God has answered prayer and how exciting it is. So hang in there. Be persistent. Continue to plead. But make sure you're also listening to him. That you're taking that time to hear what God has to say. God, help us in that. We need your help. Holy Spirit, that you've placed in us as believers in Jesus Christ, that Holy Spirit that's within us will help us. So we need to lean on that and rely on that also. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Just want to go just quickly over just a few things in your bulletin. So Barb Newton, who normally comes to second service, some of you ladies for sure probably know her. She has now become a member of our body. So, and then also we want to give out a a thank you to the person that donated a brand new laptop for the use of the library. So that's pretty awesome. And, oh yes, if you're a parent of children, I guess you would doubt how that would work, right? Or you know somebody that has kids, There's something coming up where you can bring your kids here, drop them off, and then you can go Christmas shopping or whatever. So that's coming up. That's in there. It's going to be on December 15th, so that'll be a good opportunity. And then also on the first Sunday in December, our daughter Olivia is going to be just giving a short presentation about her call to Youth with a Mission. And we'll be having a bake sale that day. Some of you probably have already gotten letters from her. She's going to be leaving towards the end of January for New Zealand to go to Youth with a Mission and Discipleship Training School. So she'll be sharing more about that. So that'll give you opportunity to ask her questions about that also. So that's it. God bless you. Have a great week.